Well, welcome back to This Week in the Association. Kevin Lucco here with me. Kevin, let's first of all begin with St. Paul Saints stuff that's going on. The All-Star selections come out this morning. Three St. Paul Saints make the team: Tony Thomas, Mark Hamburger, Anthony Gallus. Picks that you agree with? Some guys that you think are missing? What's your thoughts so far?
Well, having three guys on a team says a lot for your ball club. And yeah, I do believe there could be a case made for Brady Shoemaker, but when you got such a small roster for an All-Star team, it's tough to include everybody, and there's always going to be snubs. But yeah, three deserving players of Gallus, Thomas, and Hamburger.
The interesting pick that I found for the season with Tony Thomas, which I was really glad to see him make, but I think you and I were watching the show done by JW before each Saints home game, where I believe it was even him who was saying that he thought Tony Thomas was going to be the Saints leader in home runs, and here we are at this point.
And I believe I had mentioned on our show a week or so ago that Thomas's average was down, and then I look, and a couple of days later, he's up at 300, been double digits in homers, and yes, he's definitely been an impact player for the Saints, and good call on JW's part. He's a wise man.
Absolutely. Well, a big loss for the Saints this week is that Seth Rosen, I'm saying that right? Seth Rosen signs with the
Giants. I told Rosine.
Rosine, I'm sorry. Yeah, my bad. Rosine.
Gordon Stevie.
Seth Rosen signs with the Giants. Who becomes the closer for the Saints right now?
From the gist I got from talking to George Samus briefly on Saturday night, it's going to be kind of a co-op between Vadim Natoli, Caleb Fieldbar, and a young Peterson kid that came in. They're just going to kind of match up to situations. If there's a bunch of lefties coming up in the ninth, he'll go with Fieldbar, and there's not going to be a per se set closer, and they haven't had a safe situation since Rosine left the team, so I guess we don't really know yet if George is going to implement that or not. So be a wait and see, but there's three good arms there with Natoli, Fieldbar, and Peterson, and throw Ken Frosch in there. So there's options out there. I think they'll be fine, but yeah, losing an arm like Rosine is definitely a blow, but I do think they can overcome it.
I think this is quite a challenge for George because he's had the comfort of having a Ryan Rodabaugh the last two seasons and then Seth here to start out this year. It's going to be a little bit more of an uncomfortable situation for him, I'm sure.
Oh, it is, but I believe when he brought in Natoli, I do believe he had him eyed up as a closer at some point. So, and you can't dispute the numbers Fieldbar's put up, and he could do that in the ninth inning, but once again, do you need to get some guys out in the seventh to get to the eighth and ninth? That could be where Fieldbar still pitches. So it'll be a wait and see. Yeah, it's going to be a different situation for George. It's not going to be so concrete with one guy in the ninth, but I believe he'll push the right buttons and Saints will be fine.
Well, before we go around the rest of the North Division, we'd like to welcome back Charlie. Charlie, what were your thoughts on the team is out on the road, so you really haven't had a chance except for maybe a night?
Yeah, Charlie is away for a couple minutes. Yeah, I told him, be by the phone, you're going to be on soon, but no, he went to the bathroom. Okay, just wanted to throw a few things out there with the Saints yet. We saw the return of Robert Cole last night, throwing a couple innings in Sioux City. So they've already got a five-man staff. Robert Cole's a starter, so it's going to be interesting to see where he gets plugged in. And I want to make another note. We're talking about All-Stars. Angelo Sanco and Alonzo Harris from last year's team both made the Atlantic League All-Star team this year. And we have to mention, Cass Carter was a pickup for the Saints. And he's already hit a couple out. Yeah.
I did want to mention that about Carter being released by Fargo and George signing him a couple days later, and he hits two home runs right off the bat for the team.
Yeah, and he's his reputation is for being a good fielder, and they need somebody to take take the reins in center field until Tim Caldwell and Breland Almodovar can be back. So when those guys get back, then you're going to have a pretty crowded outfield.
Well, let's talk
Yeah, Charlie's here. He's ready to talk.
Okay, well, bring him on.
For him. It's just Raj.
Rob, Charlie.
Yeah, Raj. What's going on?
Well, Charlie, you know, the team has been away for a little bit there, so what's been going on with you?
You know, I am still upset at something that happened at the ballpark last Sunday night.
Well, what was
you
that?
Want to hear about it, Raj?
Yeah, what was that?
I was sitting there. I was getting hungry. Kevin was nowhere to be found because he's usually my guy. If I need food, I say, Kevin, I'm hungry. Go get me some food. Well, then I see a guy dressed up as a chef. And I say, hey, chef, I want a hot dog and some nachos. And he said, we? I said, I don't know about we, but I know I need a hot dog and some nachos. And then he told me I have to go to the concession stand. Raj, can you tell me, is there such a place as a the concession stand? Because I'm a little bit confused.
Well, Charlie, you do understand that the chef is just a character there at the stadium. He's playing a French chef. That's not a real chef.
But why have a chef there if he ain't making any food?
Well,
it's kind of pointless to me.
It's part of
well,
the
it's not fun if I don't have a hot dog. I just want my hot dog and watch the ball game.
Well, Charlie, that's how he was sending you to the concession stand so you could get something to eat there.
But I don't want to go up there because I want to watch the ball game. I'm not up there to go eat. I'm not there at the ballpark to eat. I'm there to watch a ball game. If I'm going to eat, I want my food brought to me. And since he is a chef, he should be making me some food.
Well, you know, Charlie, I know you're kind of against technology, but the Saints have an app that you can download onto your phone, and you can order food throughout the stadium.
Or they could bring me some apps. I could use some onion rings or some French fries.
Yeah, so if you use the app, the Saints app, you can order all the food you want.
Well, I don't know, but I'm getting a little fed up. It's lunchtime. Kevin's making me talk on the phone. I'm out of here. Have a good week, Raj.
Thanks, Charlie, but it's Rob. What are we going to do with him, Kevin?
I don't know. I mean, it's one dilemma after the other with the fella. But, you know, every night I bring him to the ballpark, it just seems like he's miserable. Seems like he has an issue. And then I get home, and he kind of gives me this pouty little face and asks, when's the next game? And I thought, with him, but he always wants to go back, so hard to figure out, Charlie.
Well, maybe next week
let's
he'll be
get
happier.
On with the league.
And next week, maybe he'll be happier. Well, let's head on with the North Division. We're going to talk about Winnipeg first, which adds four people to the All-Star team. Third baseman Wes Darvill, outfielder Josh Romanski, reliever Ryan Chafee, and starter Kevin McGovern. All of those deserving picks, I would say.
Well, yes, definitely. Especially McGovern, he's been kind of the lone bright spot of the starting staff. The other four starters have ERAs like 4.5 and above, but McGovern's been the guy they've been able to send out there every 5 days and give them a good performance.
The second in the league in ERA at 2.53, second in wins at 6, and tied for 5th in strikeouts. He really is proving to be one of the top pitchers in the league.
Yeah, and they do need him to shine right now. The team itself has been pretty inconsistent. They're 4-4 in their last 8. They had a nice sweep of Sioux Falls at home, but now they've before then they had a rough spot against Gary, and now they've dropped the first two of the Wichita series.
Fargo adds Tyler Alexander, a person that we've watched over the last few seasons and has really proven to be quite a dependable starter for the team.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, he kind of had his ups and downs, and he hasn't had, like, the dominating double-digit strikeout performances, but he's getting them consistently deep in the games and giving them a chance to win. But if he can get some offensive support, he should be all right. And it looks like they are starting to get him some support. I believe we should mention Corey De La Cruz re-signed. Is it Corey or...
I think it's. Let's go with Corey until we find out otherwise. We may be wrong.
With all apologies to Mr. De La Cruz, but yeah, that was Doug Simnick's definitely looking to add bats to the lineup. The trade for Adams, signing De La Cruz. They brought in Chris Grayson, who's hitting .417 since he's joined the club.
Well, a big acquisition they have this week is Trevor Adams, acquired from Lincoln. Do you think that he's the kind of bat that really helps the Redhawks?
I don't see where he hurts. He's been known to be a streaky hitter. He'll have a stretch of six games where he'll hit four homers, and then you don't really notice him in the lineup for a while. But you got guys like Jesus Paso, that's only got Poso, I believe that is, one homer and 102 at bats. Josh Mazzola's down to .245. Charlie Valerio is only hitting .216. They paid a price to get Adams with trading Cecilio Pimentel for him. So it's an investment on Simonick's part and a bit of a risk. So we'll see what he does for the lineup up there.
Staying with Fargo for one moment, the Saints come to town for three games this weekend. Do the Redhawks have to sweep this series to get back into contention?
Obviously, it's their goal. I think if you take two of three, you're at least making a bit of a statement. Yeah, you're only gaining a game, but you're planting the seed of doubt in the Saints' head that they might not be able to hold off the Redhawks. Because, you know, there's going to be a ton of games between the two teams in the second half of the year. But yeah, it's not a crisis situation yet, but it is time for them to make a statement.
Heading to Sioux Falls, Dylan Thompson, a reliever for the Canaries, .40 ERA and 20 relief appearances this season, is the choice for the Sioux Falls Canaries on the All-Star team. Boy, I can't see how this guy could have been kept off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's been a real bright spot in the bullpen. It's been a solid bullpen, except for Jeff Inman, just had a rough go of it there and got it released. Ortega was named the closer. We thought it would have been Thompson, but apparently Thompson's going to be kept in the same role he had before. And good for him. Great ERA, good arm, and he gets a chance to go to Ottawa.
The interesting thing that I find about Sioux Falls right now is they're just four games under .500, which keeps them in contention, at least for the wild card at this point. But do you think that there's a point, or are we at the point for Sioux Falls where they need to start examining and saying maybe they're better off at looking at next season? You've got a lot of great pieces there. Do they start making deals now, or do they go and battle it out?
I think you give it a few weeks yet, and I think your goal is to at least win every series. If it's a four-gamer split, or try to get three wins, and if that isn't happening, yeah, then you start figuring out what your valuable pieces are and trade them off for pieces for next season.
Well, let's head on to the Central, beginning with Lincoln. Their all-star pick is Deshenko Ricardo, which I believe that I'm saying that right there. I'm a little surprised that a few other guys didn't make this because of how well Lincoln has played this season, but Ricardo at .269, three homers and 15 RBIs as catcher. He's doing a fine job, not only behind the plate, catching games, but hitting at the plate as well.
Yeah, he may have been a victim of, I shouldn't say it, him being a victim, but the other guys may have been a victim of the fact that maybe the All-Star team needed a catcher, and the Lincoln guy was the best catcher out there. So it may have been more filling a need than actually taking the the best player.
I think one guy that we would have agreed would have probably been on that team is Tommy Mendoza, but he gets hurt and is done for the year. How big a loss is that for Lincoln?
Oh, I think it's a gigantic loss for them in the middle of the lineup. You lose him, and now you trade away Trevor Adams. It's a very potent lineup. It's going to have a couple of key parts missing to it that we'll see if Bobby Brown can fill those in.
The Gary South Shore Railcats are at Charlie Rosario. I think neither one of us are surprised by that at all.
Saw him pitch last Saturday night in St. Paul, and wow, he was just excellent. 8 strong innings, so he tired out a little bit in the 9th, but got picked up by Drazen Johnson in the bullpen. But yes, he looked really good. He handled the Saints lineup that not too many teams have been able to handle lately.
Speaking of this last weekend, there was an incident with the team. Anthony Cecchi Jr. released after some kind of altercation. The facts of that are irrelevant as far as we're concerned. But something came out of that that both of us were really impressed by. Let's have you talk about your feelings about Greg Taggart in the situation.
I like that Taggart did not mess around with it. There was no gray area. There was no, well, let's wait and see how it turns out in court. He decided on Monday morning that he is off the roster, released from the ball club. We saw a similar situation in 2006 when the Fort Worth Cats won the American Association title in St. Paul, and 3 of their players got arrested up here in a barroom brawl. And they did not waste any time in Fort Worth either. They said all 3 players were no longer part of the ball club. So, yes, impressive on Taggart's part, just to nip it in the bud and release him and move on. He's got a talented team, and there's no sense having more of a distraction than it already was.
Well, I think it's
not the impressive part. They came in and they had that happen Saturday night, and then they go in and win a game on Sunday. So, bravo for Taggart for getting the guys refocused.
I agree with that completely, and I think where we were most impressed by is that this is your leading hitter who's 3rd in the league at that point, but yet you're looking out for the integrity of your team, which isn't something you often see in sports these days.
No, so often teams don't want to lose their big guy, and they seem to have a longer leash or able to go pull off some nonsense that if it was a lesser player, you know, they would have been kicked off the team for. So, yeah, very bold on his part. And, you know, he's got a young team there and a lot of impressionable young players. So, good for him to set the example of removing them and moving on.
Another
reason, standard.
Another reason why we have such respect for him. Drazen Johnson continuing to look incredible. You talked about how he came in to save Rosario's big victory. Boy, this guy is just unbelievably good.
1 earned run in 16 innings. He had an injury. He was out for a couple weeks, but he came in, faced Winnipeg last Thursday night, and then notched a couple saves in St. Paul. And, yeah, he just picked up right where he left off before the injury.
Heading on to Kansas City, they send 2 to the All-Star game. Kevin Keyes, who is 2nd in the league in home runs with 12, hitting .299, showing a lot of power, 39 runs driven at this particular point. They also add Scott Carroll, 4-2 for the team with a 3.0 ERA. Excellent additions, I see, from the T-Bones.
Yeah, not much to argue with there. Keyes has been their big hitter all year, especially after Zach Walters got signed by the Royals. And Carroll's been a solid starter for them all year.
The one thing that impresses me about Kansas City is 7-3 over their last 10 games, moving into a tie in the Central. Pretty amazing testament to how well this team is built and managed when they do lose their best player and still start getting on a hot streak.
Yeah, Calipietra has done an excellent job. He's adjusted to the American Association quite well, and I had no doubt that was going to happen. He was a great manager in the Can-Am League, and I knew he was going to do just as well here, and he was going to be able to bring in guys that are going to get the job done.
Last year's most valuable player in the American Association, Nate Sampson, chosen from the Sioux City Explorers, hitting .329, 29 runs driven in. This guy really can do it all, and again, another guy I don't think either one of us are surprised makes the team.
Yeah, and he's been having to do it all with it. His team is so banged up right now, and it just seems like every night they're throwing together a patchwork lineup. The other night, a guy that's normally a pitcher ends up, I don't know if he's playing first or DHing, but he gets a big triple against the Saints that helped them beat the Saints on Monday night 4-2. Now, I was thinking about this morning. They go up to Winnipeg pretty soon, and I'm thinking, wow, their roster is small enough that they get some guys held up at the border. They may be scouring Winnipeg senior leagues for guys just to fill in for a few days.
I think we see that as an interesting series after an interesting incident that happened in Sioux City between those two teams a few weeks ago, and I would be interested to see if players didn't get across how Sioux City reacts to that.
Yeah, I hear the Manitoban flu is going around, so
yeah,
if they don't catch it.
Better get their flu vaccine before they head across the border. You know, the thing that impresses me with the fact of this team being so beat up and having to change the lineup every day has been the pitching staff has just been as rock solid as it gets. Is it that pitching staff that makes it so that the Explorers are the team standing at the end?
Boy, that'd be a bold statement to make, because I think every team in the Central has a chance to win it, and it's hard to really pick out one above the rest of them at this point. But yes, the bullpen is definitely the strength of the Explorers ball club, and if they can get some help, if they can get some consistent starting pitching, they could win it. But like I said, you've got three other teams that are making a pretty bold case to win it, so we'll have to see how it all plays out.
Well, heading to the South Division, we start with the Wichita Wingnuts, who send four people to the All-Star game. All of them position players, surprisingly enough, in Matt Chavez, Harrison Kane, TJ Mittelstadt, and Martin Medina. What are your thoughts about this group?
I think right now with Wichita, you could have almost just had the All-Star game, Wichita versus the rest of the league. If you look at their batting order from top to bottom, this guy is right around or over 300. It's been a real amazing hitting lineup that Pete Rose Jr. has been able to put together there.
Well, first in batting, first in pitching, and second in fielding. So Josh Robertson with a little help from Pete Rose has really put together quite a team out there.
Yeah, I'm going to really look forward to them seeing them when they get up to St. Paul later on this year. It'll definitely be a showdown series.
The thing that I think that's really impressive about this team, four starters on the staff with six wins, and that's not even including Jordan Cooper, who may be the best of them all. This is just quite a group.
That is. The numbers don't lie.
Well, let's head to Cleburne, where Patrick Mincy is the choice for the All-Star team for the Railroaders. What are your thoughts about him being chosen?
It's a no-brainer. I was just kind of checking his stats out last night, and he's been their only consistent starter. Maybe you make a slight case for Winston Abreu coming out of the bullpen, but if other teams are sending their closers, it can't send them all. So I'd say Mincy was your clear-cut choice to represent the Railroaders.
Even being chosen as the pitcher of the month in the American Association for June? The Railroaders, you and I have talked about, and I'm looking like a dope at this particular point. We thought that they were really in prime position because of having so many games against Salina, but then they dropped three of those games. How much do you think that's hurt this team at this point?
Oh, I think it's hurt it tremendously. When you look right now, they're 21-24. If you flip those three games around, 24-21 looks a heck of a lot better, and it puts them right in the middle of the wild card chase. But yeah, those are the kind of games you're going to look back on come Labor Day, and if you just really missed the wild card, well, that's going to be your reason why.
We've talked about the fact of the hitting being a real Achilles heel to this team, but Axel Johnson and Oscar Mesa starting to really heat up here. Can they be enough to fuel this offense to get on a run?
I think it's going to take them. I think it's going to take Mitch Glasser getting back and hitting like he can. Gerardo Valentin needs to make more of a presence on, too. We've seen him as a good hitter in the league, too. So, but yeah, they're going to need to start playing more consistent ball games and not dropping games to teams that are in they should be beating.
Texas sends left-hander James Russell to the All-Star game, sixth in the league in ERA. This is another no-brainer as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, for sure. I think there's a case made by Alvaro Rondon, who's hitting .289 at the top of the order and has got 21 stolen bases. But, yes, I, like you said, you can't send everybody. Russell's been given at least six innings every time out, and he's a former big league arm, so you can't dispute that.
The one guy that we've been surprised by his slow start has been Dennis Phipps, but he seems to be back on the rise now.
Yeah, he's got his batting average up to .292, trailing only Levi Scott, who's hitting .320. But people that follow the American Association know exactly how much of a dangerous hitter Dennis Phipps can be.
Finishing off, we look at Salina, who has up to their fifth win of the, or six, are we six wins now on the season for Salina?
Let me Five and 40.
The pitching staff really is starting to mold here. Brian Smith last night, the team's de facto pitching coach as well, combines with Tyler Herr to provide the first time that the team had not walked a batter in a game. And you're starting to see some life out of this organization.
In the last 7 days, there are seven pitchers that have ERAs under three. So you are seeing the staff kind of get it together.
Yeah, J.D. Drotty has really done quite an amazing job with that staff, and even choosing and developing them.
Yeah, I think the Stockade have become a lot of fans and teams' favorite team outside of their own. I think everybody's rooting for the Stockade to at least have some success and make the whole experience a little better.
Couldn't agree with you more. Well, let's talk about, Kevin, June ends, and we're a few days into July, but let's look back a little bit on June. Were there players or pitchers that you thought that stood out that you would call your top player or top pitcher for June?
I guess I was looking more of a body of work through the whole year, and I was kind of thinking about, okay, the season were to end now, who would be my MVP, most valuable hitter, most valuable pitcher? And I was kind of going with a dark horse, Nate Sampson with Sioux City, with what he's had to go through there with consistently changing lineup and providing a steady bat. He'd be my choice for most valuable hitter. Mark Hamburger with the St. Paul Saints, I know I'm kind of being a homer on this one, but every 5 days, he's given them a chance to win. He has eight wins. And on a team where the starting pitching's been pretty inconsistent, the bullpen knows that Mark's out there that they're probably going to have the night off, or only maybe one or two guys are going to have to throw. And I think that's important in this league where bullpens can get worn out to have a guy that can go out there and give you seven, eight, nine innings every night.
Well, I really have no argument with either one of those guys. I think Nate Sampson has been everything that the team could have expected out of him and more. You lose a John Nagowski, who was really only their only other hitter at the time who was really producing every day, was consistent about the way he was playing. Tony Campana's played pretty well, but not up to the level of these two guys, and I thought Sampson has just really been a key factor in why they played so well, I guess I should say. I think the one that's going to be hard for a lot of people to overlook at this point is going to be Matt Chavez.
I have Chavez listed as my 1A, we'll call him.
I think that he's going to be a real tough person for teams to go, for anybody looking at the league this season and say, this guy isn't the MVP, just because the number of RBIs he's hitting and reached double digits in home runs a couple nights ago and is hitting second in the league. It'll be first after Nagowski doesn't have enough at-bats anymore. This guy's just a professional hitter, which I really don't understand why an affiliate club doesn't have room for this guy. I'm totally at a loss on that particular one out there. With Mark Hamburger, I can't agree with you more on that. The fact is, maybe he isn't in the top five in ERA, but he does so many things that make the Saints better. And I think that is, like you said, he takes away extra pitchers having to come in for relief appearances because he can go eight and a third almost every time that he's out there in games. And he doesn't, he makes it a short game too, so that, you know, it's that he throws strikes, he gets guys out. You're not sitting out there for 3.5 hours trying to figure out, you know, how long this game is going to finally last before it comes to an end. He keeps his team involved. Plus, you got three complete games on the season. So, you can't beat 8 wins and three complete games, as far as I'm concerned at this point.
Oh, definitely. And another thing on Chavez too. Got 50 RBIs at the halfway point. You're looking at a guy that could end up with 100 RBIs in a 100 game season.
Pretty
All that
amazing.
one over.
Yeah,
Yeah, if he's a
pretty
big
amazing.
leaguer, that's 162 RBI pace.
And if you watch him hit, is just a guy who's a professional hitter in every way that you can express that. And hitting fifth, I mean, it's not like he's got no disrespect to guys like Martin Medina and Richard Pigetano, guys that hit behind him, but he's the guy protecting a TJ Mittelstadt and a Brent Cleveland and putting up the huge numbers. So it really says a lot about how good of a hitter he is. Well, Kevin, we're heading into this weekend. Obviously, the Fargo St. Paul series is a huge one. What are you expecting out of that?
I would expect that Fargo is going to be up for it. I think you're going to see Fargo get 2 out of 3 in it. I think the Saints will be happy to get at least one game, and if they get another one, well, that's going to just be gravy. But it means a lot more to Fargo than it does St. Paul right now. If either team sweeps, it's going to shake up the standings pretty good in the North. I think a couple other series to look at is Sioux City going to Kansas City. That's going to be a big Central Division showdown. And then you got Winnipeg going to Gary. Both teams looking to gain some ground, too. So should be an interesting weekend in the association.
I think the team that has to really put it together this weekend has got to be Lincoln. They go to Cleburne, and who's kind of struggling to win games right now. And I think Lincoln almost has to sweep that series because while these other teams are battling, Gary's, you know, battling Winnipeg and Sioux City and Kansas City are battling against each other. I think this is an opportunity that they have to do something to kind of separate themselves right now.
Yeah, it's at the point where sweeps can either, the standings so tight, sweeps can either give you a lot of room, or if you're on the bad end of it, it can give you a hole to dig out of.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, thanks for joining us this week.
Good to be here.